Well, we're now in the third week of a five-week message series called Faith, Not Fear. And in the first week, we started out talking about staring down our giants. We talked about how there's often this tug of war between moving forward with faith or retreating in fear. And as a backdrop, we looked at this passage from the Old Testament book of Numbers and how the people of Israel were afraid of the giants that kept them from claiming the land that God had promised them. And then last week we looked at how anxieties are like a meteor shower of what ifs, and how anxiety causes us to live in this constant fear of what could happen. And we looked at several passages of Scripture that remind us not to live in fear, but to embrace and even celebrate tough times, knowing that God is with us no matter how dark the valley may become. Now this morning, I want us to focus on failure, because no matter how hard we try, no matter how much faith we have, no matter how smart we are, we're going to fail sometimes. And today, I'd like us to look at one of Jesus' most dependable and trusted disciples and how, when tested, his faith faded and failed. The story is recorded in the 22nd chapter of the Gospel of Luke, where Jesus said, "Simon, Simon, listen. Satan has received permission to test all of you, to separate the good from the bad as a farmer separates the wheat from the chaff. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that you and your faith will not fail. And when you turn back to me, you must strengthen your brothers." Peter answered, "Lord, I'm ready to go to prison with you and to die with you." "I tell you, Peter," Jesus said, "the rooster will not crow tonight until you have said three times that you do not know me." And then in verses 54 through 63, we read, "They arrested Jesus and took him away into the house of the high priest. And Peter followed at a distance. A fire had been lit in the center of the courtyard, and Peter joined those who were sitting around him. When one of the servant women saw him sitting there at the fire, she looked straight at him and said, 'This man too was with Jesus.' But Peter denied it, 'Woman, I don't even know him.' A little later, while a man noticed Peter, he said, 'You're one of them too.' But Peter answered, 'Man, I am not.' And about an hour later, another man insisted strongly, 'There isn't any doubt that this man was with Jesus, because he's also a Galilean.' But Peter answered, 'Man, I don't know what you're talking about.' At once, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned around and looked straight at Peter. And Peter remembered that the Lord had said to him, 'Before the rooster crows tonight, you will say three times that you do not know me.' And Peter went out and wept bitterly." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, we ask for you to speak to us through this, your word, and through the power and the presence of your Holy Spirit. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. You know, Jesus failed. He did. Jesus failed. That statement may shock some of you or most people. But if you were to evaluate Jesus' life by the standards we use today to measure success, you might come to that conclusion that Jesus did indeed fail. Someone once said, "We only learn from the mistakes that we survive." Well, Jesus and the way he taught and the way he confronted people and the way he painted outside the lines, far from the conventional wisdom of his day, ended up being arrested, convicted at a sham trial, beaten, whipped, sped on, and then executed in one of the most excruciatingly painful ways to die. Not exactly a script of success in our modern day way of thinking, or even in the minds of people back in biblical times. Being crucified was to be a failure. The people of his day were expecting a great military leader who would defeat the enemies of Israel and make everything right. They wanted George Patton and Douglas MacArthur and Nick Saban all wrapped together. But what they got was an itinerant preacher who healed the sick, spent time with outcasts and with the poor, and they were disappointed. In their minds, Jesus was a failure. In addressing a group of priests and religious leaders at St. Patrick's Cathedral, Pope Francis said this: "We can get caught up measuring the values of our apostolic works by the standards of efficiency, good management, and outward success which govern the business world. Not that these things are unimportant. We have been entrusted with great responsibility, and God's people rightly expect accountability from us. But the true worth of our calling is measured by the value it has in God's eyes. To see and evaluate things from God's perspective. And it calls for constant conversion, and need I say, it calls for great humility. The cross shows us a different way of measuring success. Ours is to plant the seeds. God sees to the fruits of our labors. And if at times our efforts and work seem to fail and produce no fruit, we need to remember that we are followers of Jesus, and his life, humanly speaking, ended in failure, in the failure of the cross. In Luke's gospel, Jesus spoke of counting the cost, that we must practice discernment as we seek to pursue a path that requires risk-taking. But what worthy endeavor in any of life is risk-free? J.K. Rowling, whose Harry Potter books have sold more than 400 million copies, saw her first manuscript rejected by 12 publishing houses before one accepted it, paying an advance of a little under $3,000. And even her editor told her, "Get a day job, because you'll never be able to support yourself selling children's books." In 2008, she gave the commencement address at Harvard University, where she recalled, "What I feared most at your age was not poverty, but failure." Rowling said, "It's impossible to live without failing at something unless you live so cautiously that you might as well not have lived at all, in which case you fail by default." In his book, Unafraid, Adam Hamilton writes, "As God called Moses to go, Moses began making excuses. Four times, Moses offered a challenge, a roadblock, an excuse to avoid God's call. Four times God responded, addressing his concern, yet Moses responded by saying, 'Please, Lord, send somebody else.'" We're all afraid of failing. It's a critical function of our amygdala to keep us safe and reduce risk. It does this by identifying threats which our imaginations can spin into a series of unfortunate events, a meteor shower of what-ifs that keep us from living with faith, but keep us living in constant anxiety. Well, in our scripture reading for today, Simon Peter, the guy who got out of the boat and began walking out on the water to meet Jesus, was the same guy who told Jesus that he was with him all the way. Then the storm clouds were gathering, and he knew Jesus was in trouble and about to be arrested and put on trial. He said to Jesus, "Lord, I'm with you. I'm ready to go to prison with you. I'm ready to die with you." But Jesus knew better. He said, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow tonight until you have said three times you don't even know me." Apparently, Jesus knew that Peter's faith wilted under pressure. He was brave enough to get out of the boat, but Then his fear took over and he began to sink, and Jesus had to pluck him out of the water, and he said, "Oh, you of little faith, why do you doubt?" Peter said he would stick with Jesus no matter what. But then Jesus is arrested, and Peter said, "I didn't know that guy. Who are you talking about? Never met him. Different time." And then the rooster crows. And Peter went out, wept. Peter failed. But let's give Peter a little credit. He did drop his nets to follow Jesus. He did get out of the boat when he saw Jesus out on the water. How many of you can honestly say you'd do the same thing? So Peter was not risk adverse, but there were many times when his faith failed, or he had a faith brownout. His fears get the best of him. And in this passage, Jesus says to Simon Peter, "Satan has received permission to test all of you, to separate the wheat from the chaff as farmers do. But Jesus said, I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith will not fail." But it did. Now, what I want you to hear clearly today, none of us bat 1,000. We all swing and whiff. And our faith sometimes fades and fails when tested. But failure is never final. God can use our failures to test us, to teach us, to stretch us, and to help us overcome the mountains and even the molehills that stand in the way of living out God's call on our life. One of my favorite TV commercials of all time, it's dated now, but it was in 1997, and it was an ad for Air Jordan. Some of you may remember it. In this commercial, Michael Jordan is walking down this long hallway, and you could hear him say, "I've missed 9,000 shots. I've lost almost 300 games. 26 times I was past the ball to take the winning shot, and I missed it. I failed over and over and over again in my life, and that's why I succeed." And Advertising Age, who does critical analysis of ads, said the commercial was a failure. I think it worked. You know, when President Lincoln finished his famous Gettysburg Address, he sat down and a reporter leaned in towards him and said, "Is that all? Is that all?" And Edward Everett, who was the main speaker that day, expressed his disappointment, as did a number of men that were on the platform with Lincoln. And later, Lincoln was asked to discuss that speech, and he said, "I failed. I failed. That's all I want to say. I just failed." The president likewise rejected the attempts of others to encourage him and tell him that the speech was great, and as they returned to Washington by train. But it wasn't until the public and the press loudly praised Lincoln's address that it impacted his doubt and his critical impression of what he'd done. You know, sometimes what we think is success really isn't. It's fleeting, has little impact. And sometimes we think our failures are final and that there's no room for redemption. Yet it's redemption that our faith is essentially about. That God is in the business of taking our failures and our sins and our mistakes and our gaffes and using them for his ultimate good, for his ultimate glory. It's not that we're perfect. It's not that we don't fail, but failure in God's eyes is never fatal and final. God has a way of using our failures for his ultimate purpose. There's this little passage of scripture that's found in the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians. And it's where Paul is talking about his own weakness. And Paul writes that God has shown me amazing and wonderful things, and people should not think more of me because of that. So I wouldn't be proud of myself. I was given this problem. And the problem caused me pain in my body. It was a messenger from Satan to make me suffer. 3 times, he writes, I begged the Lord to take it away from me, but he said, my grace is all you need. My power is strongest when you're weak. So I'm very happy to brag about how weak I am. Then Christ's power can rest on me because of how I've suffered for Christ. I'm glad that I'm weak. And he continues on. He says, you know, I'm glad in hard times. I'm glad when people say mean things about me. I'm glad when things are difficult. I'm glad when people make me suffer, because when I'm weak, I'm strong through Christ. No one that I know of is quite sure what Paul's weakness of the flesh actually was. But Paul learned to accept this weakness and to use it as a reminder that God is at work, not when everything is right, but in spite of that, in spite of failures. This kind of thinking doesn't come naturally to us. We learn it as we accept more and more of God's grace. We work hard to do things right, but we learn to let go of the need for perfection and not fear to step out in faith. I want to close this morning with something I read, I think, several years ago from an online devotion that I read quite often. It goes like this. So how do you get rid of the fear of failure? One way is to redefine failure. What is failure? Failure is not failing to reach your goal. Failure is not having a goal. Failure is not failing to hit your target. Failure is not having a target. Failure is not falling down. Failure is refusing to get back up. You're never a failure until you quit. So if you're attempting to do something for the glory of God, that's a good thing. Failure is not trying and not accomplishing anything. Failure is failing to try. Another way of getting rid of the fear of failure is to never compare yourself to anybody else. You're always going to find somebody who's doing a better job and you get discouraged. And you're always going to find someone who's not doing as good a job as you are, and you're going to become full of pride. Both of them mess with you. Both of discouragement and pride will keep you from serving God's purpose in your life. So follow God with faith, not fear, and know that you will fail at times, but that your failures are never final. Let's pray. Lord God, we know that we live in a time where people often take great joy in pointing out our mistakes and our failures, where people have to tear others down in order to build themselves up. Give us the faith to focus on pleasing you and accepting your grace when we fail. Keep us eager to take on what challenges you call us to, trusting not in our own abilities, but in your faithfulness. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.